Welcome to Body Sculpt of New York, 6 weeks to Fitness podcast, where we hope to inform, motivate, encourage, and inspire you towards living a healthier lifestyle. And now, here's your host, the president of Body Sculpt of New York, Vince Ferguson.
Hi, I'm Vince Ferguson. Welcome to 6 weeks of Fitness, episode number 25. Thank you so much for tuning in. Now, in this episode, I will be joined by Evelina Iris Spencer, coordinator of the Emergency Food Assistance Program and Nutrition and Health Programs for Cornell University Cooperative Extension. During the interview, Evelina will share a variety of holiday eating and safety tips to ensure that we don't overeat and pack on the extra pounds during this very festive holiday season. Evelina will also discuss the many programs and services provided by Cornell University Cooperative Extension, including the very popular Kitchens of Faith, a faith-based feeding ministry for churches. Now, remember the words of George Edward Woodberry, who said, "Defeat is not the worst of failures. Not to have tried is the true failure." And now that's worth thinking about. Welcome back to 6 weeks of Fitness. Evelina Iris Spencer has been working for Cornell University Cooperative Extension in New York City since 1999. In addition to her other responsibilities at Cornell, she developed a pilot called Kitchens of Faith to provide nutrition education to faith-based feeding ministries in New York City and deliver accurate research-based information in a way the community can understand. The success of Kitchens of Faith resulted in the development of Cornell's Emergency Food Assistance Program, Making the Most of Food, that is funded via the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program Education, otherwise known as SNAP-Ed. This free initiative works with staff, volunteers, guests, and clients of food pantries and soup kitchens to impact the quality of food prepared, offered, and served, and to ultimately improve the health of families receiving food assistance. Ms. Iris Spencer received both her bachelor's and master's degrees from Brooklyn College, which is part of the City University of New York. She is also a registered dietitian and certified family and consumer scientist. I am pleased to have Evelina on the program. Evelina, how are you?
I'm doing very well, Vince. Nice speaking to you.
Same here. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Now, as you know, we are entering our holiday season, starting with Thanksgiving and ending with the new year. Unfortunately, studies have shown that a majority of us gain weight during this time of year, and the pounds add up year after year. So I want you to share some holiday eating tips with my listeners to help them get through this very festive season. But before you do that, let's talk about you, Evelina. What made you choose a career in the health field?
Wow, I always enjoy talking about how I got started. I actually never planned to go into this field. I actually thought about a career in music. And when I was in high school, I took the home ec course that involved cooking. And in that class, we read a statement in our textbook that said food had the ability to either help or harm the body. And I was shocked. And I asked my teacher if it was true, and she said it was. And I was amazed because I thought food is just something you enjoy with family and friends.
Right.
It doesn't really bother you. You know, it's just, it's
yes.
food.
Of course.
And so I began from that day on. That statement has stayed with me over the years, and I just changed. It turned me around. I became so interested in finding out how food could either help or harm the body. And having learned a lot, I'm not going to say I know everything, but
right.
having learned a lot, I am fascinated with it every day, and I love working with people and helping them to gain understanding.
That is so powerful. So you actually got your start in high school.
In high school.
Wow. And the words that a teacher said to you made a difference.
The words from a textbook and just hearing confirmation of that changed my life.
Because so many of us don't realize the effect that food is having in our bodies.
That's right.
Right. Now, are any of your family members also in the health field?
Most of my family are nurses.
Okay.
Maybe we have a few technicians or dialysis technicians or different things like that. But we do have people involved in healthcare. I am, however, the only dietitian.
Well, that's fine, though. But, I mean, again, nurses.
No, it's wonderful. I started out on my own path, but I've never had a boring day in all these years. I am constantly fascinated with helping people understand, because most people don't understand the way food works in the body.
Yes, I can definitely attest to that. And because of that, I think there's a lot. That's one of the main reasons there's so many problems when it comes to our health, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you know, it's such a multifaceted situation, because you have people thinking one way, the manufacturer thinking a different way, the commercialism, you know, it's just so much that goes into it. And so we need to begin not only to educate people, but to really, really work on changing the environment. And that's what I love about the fact that you're doing this program, because it begins the process, well, not begins the process, but continues the process of changing the environment.
Yes, and that's exactly why we're doing it. We feel that we can impact more people this way.
Yeah.
Right. So we're doing our part, and I'm just happy to have people like yourself come on the program to help us with this mission that we have. Now,
yes.
In your opinion, how much of an impact would you say nutrition has on our overall health?
Well, I would say it's high. Most of the chronic diseases we have are affected by our nutrition. But it's not just our nutrition. There has to be a balance between the energy we take in and the energy we expend. So it's about nutrition and physical activity impacting our overall health. But I would say nutrition's pretty high. What we put in our mouth really determines a lot.
Yes, I definitely agree. And well, we at Body Sculpt, 6 weeks of fitness, we believe that nutrition plays about 75% to 80% in it, actually.
Okay? I would say that's good.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, of course, I'm a trainer, so I believe in physical activity, but I would not do my clients justice if I didn't focus on nutrition.
Right.
All right.
It has to be a balanced approach. I agree with you, because I feel the same way. Even though I'm in the nutrition aspect,
yes,
I have to always encourage my clients, my participants, to involve themselves in physical activity and really explaining to them what that means. Because, again, some people think, you know, strolling in the mall is enough. So, no.
Right. I mean, granted, I'll say to people, look, don't take the escalator, take the stairs, okay?
Right.
That helps, okay? But do something on a continuous basis every day if possible. Even if it's 10 minutes a day, if it's 10 minutes at a time.
Absolutely.
You know, to keep the body moving. The body was meant to move.
Yes.
And with that movement, you've got to feed it right. You got to feed it the proper food, the proper nutrients in order for it to perform properly, correct?
Absolutely.
So that's what we're talking about. And as you know, the obesity epidemic has grown tremendously in this country. And obesity is a risk factor for so many chronic diseases. And I'm sure you're seeing more diabetes being diagnosed throughout the country.
Oh, yes. And it's sad, because it's something that is preventable just by us making a commitment to ourselves. I have to tell you that in my family, diabetes and high blood pressure are very strong negative factors. On my maternal side, high blood pressure, very big, and some diabetes. But on my father's side, diabetes rampant. So it is something that you really have to make a commitment to yourself.
Yes.
You know, we can't always escape it, but we can have a better quality of life.
And that's
we can make a difference in ourselves.
Yes, yes. So we have to take responsibility, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yes. And most of these problems come about because of how we eat. Now, with the Cornell University Cooperative Extension, tell my listeners more about the mission and the work that you're doing in the community.
One of my favorite topics again. Vince, I remember working in, I was actually working in the South Bronx in the WIC program, and I went to a training being given by Cornell. And when I saw the way they were doing education, I was fascinated, and I said, I want to work for this organization someday. So I really was very happy when I got the opportunity and I was able to start doing that. Cornell is the land-grant mission university for New York. And what that means is that federal funds and lands were given to Cornell University with the understanding that they would provide research, information from research, accurate information. And that information would then be taken out to the various communities within New York State to make sure that people understand whatever the topic is. And there are different program areas. So in the area of nutrition and health, research is being done. Information is being given to us. And then we, in turn, come back and go to our community educators who are paraprofessionals, people from the community that have certain leadership traits and qualities that we know we can work with. We hire them, we train them extensively, and then send them out into the community to deliver this message of accurate research-based information on nutrition.
Nice.
Then they are able to communicate it in a way that the community relates to because they live in the communities. The people see them in their churches, in their schools, in the supermarket, in their neighborhood, sometimes in their very buildings. And they now become empowered with the idea that if this person that I, you know, that's my neighbor can do this, I can do this also. And then the educators are able to communicate this information in a way that the community understands, because they understand the community. It's just a perfect relationship in terms of that modeling and that giving the information and the community receiving it in a very positive way.
Well, that's beautiful, though. That's beautiful because you're using people from the community.
Yes.
Right. And
yes,
that's actually
key to our work.
Yes, I've actually had the privilege of working with a couple of your community educators in the past, so I know how important that is.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent. Now, could you also tell me, is the cooperative local or national organization?
Cooperative Extension is national. It's in all of the states. Each of the 50 states and the possessions have cooperative extension offices through their universities. There is also international extension work.
Really?
So the same thing is happening around the world.
Wow, that is amazing. That is so widely, you know, seen and used. That's awesome because nutrition is a major issue. So beyond nutrition, you guys work with the environment as well?
We work with the environment. We do family and youth development. So even we invest in things like the local farmers, working with them. We work also at farmers markets. We are everywhere that we can be, because we have to respond to the needs of the community. So you may come to New York City and see cooperative extension delivered in a way that fits an urban audience, but then go upstate where it's very rural and cooperative extension is still delivering education, but for that particular audience. So we have to go according to the needs of our community.
Wow.
We work with all ages. So we work with youth in schools. We work with parents of school-aged children. We work with seniors. We work with job training centers. We work with our community.
Wow. Is this a free program for the community?
It is free. It is free. It's federally funded.
Wow.
And it's available to the community, people with limited resources.
Yeah.
And we go to the agencies. They don't come to us. We go to them. So we go to schools, various community and faith-based organizations. We go to senior services. So that could be, when I started with Cooperative Extension, they were senior centers. Now we'll work with senior residences because we're going to them where they are, and they're preparing their own meal. Wherever our community is, that's where you'll find us.
Wow, that is amazing. Now, how long has the Cooperative Extension been around?
Well, they just celebrated their 45th anniversary this week.
Wow, happy birthday.
Yes.
Awesome. That is very, very good. I'm glad to hear that. Could you elaborate on the pilot program that you created called Kitchens of Faith?
Sure. Kitchens of Faith came about when we had an executive director who recently passed away. He came to New York City to be our executive director, and at that time I was working in the Manhattan Bronx region, working with parents of school-aged children and school-aged youth. And so we were on our way on the number 4 train, and I'm making this very local, so this is New York. We were on the subway, and we were heading to a graduation of one of my programs. And the executive director said, "This is wonderful, but why aren't we doing more with the churches and the other faith-based groups?" And I looked at him and said, "Wow, I do some work with them, but I want to do more." And it's so interesting that you brought that up. He said, "Well, it's a natural thing because in faith-based groups, people eat a lot." And he says, "I've been there, so I know."
That's
and
true.
I said, "Yeah, absolutely. So I would really like to do something to work with these faith-based feeding ministries, and that would include congregational feeding, emergency assistance like food pantries and soup kitchens, because they're very involved in that,
yeah.
And then community kitchens. Community kitchens are places where people can just come together to eat, whether breakfast or lunch or dinners that they may serve once a month or sometimes weekly. So I asked him if it would be possible, you know, to do something, and he said, "You know what? You design it, I'll find a way to fund it."
Wow.
And so that's what happened. He said, "We can call it Kitchens of Faith. And when they complete the program, they'll get a plaque from us stating that they are a kitchen of faith. But this is a kitchen that has now been transformed. Because when we do our work, we're seeking for behavior change." And that's what happened. So I did the research, worked on it. Again, staying true to our model,
yes.
I recruited some community educators who were already working for us who come from the faith-based world. So that was important because when you're working with the faith-based world, you really want to approach them the right way because you can lose them for a while. So the people that I had were familiar with that. I didn't have to teach them that. And they already knew how we delivered programming. All they had to do was now use this curriculum. So we met, we would look at the curriculum. They gave me their input, what they thought would work. I made any changes that they thought. And we set out to do this. We went out we recruited some ministries. We tried. It was a little tough in the beginning because people weren't so trusting. But we were able to get 10 ministries who agreed to send their volunteers in their kitchen ministries to us. And we had a total of 23 people.
Nice.
All those 23, 22 graduated.
Wow.
The other person did. They had to leave the program because of job responsibilities. But everyone stayed, and this was done on a Monday morning. And if you know anything about churches, they don't look forward to Monday mornings doing anything because they've been so busy on the weekends.
Yes, that's true.
But they came for 3 hours weekly, and after a while, they wouldn't go home. So after lesson three, they kept staying around longer and longer and longer. And by the time we got to the eighth lesson, which was the number of lessons we had scheduled for them, they were there with us for about 10 hours that day.
Really?
They just didn't want to leave. They said, what are we going to do on Mondays? So where I had people before saying, Mondays, I don't know. Now they wanted to know, what will we do on Mondays? This has been revolutionary. It changed their lives. Amazing. So we had our graduation. And the day we had our graduation, it rained, rained, rained. It rained. I thought the ark was going to come by.
Oh.
And but the people came, and their guests came. We had 200 people in a church in Queens. And I'm talking about people who were coming from the Bronx, from Chinatown, from Harlem, from the Lower East Side, from Far Rockaway.
Really?
Queens, Brooklyn. We had people from all over. So those were the churches we recruited. And they talked about how much they had learned, how much it had helped them. And the wonderful thing about doing extension work, Vince, is that there are the things that you expect, the behavior changes relating to the subject matter. But then there are the other things, the other benefits that you didn't go in there looking for, but they happen anyway. One woman felt she was too old to learn anything, and she now felt empowered to go back to school.
Really?
We had people who talked about how it had changed their family life. So these were all the different things. So many things happened.
Wow.
And it was a big success. And this is the work that Extension does, and this is something we see quite a bit in our work.
And what a wonderful work it is. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
I mean, you're changing lives, you know?
Absolutely.
So beautiful. Now, how can my listeners find out more about the Cornell University Cooperative Extension?
Well, they can call area code. I'm going to give them the main office number because right now we're in a transition of moving some offices around.
Okay.
So if they call 212-340-2910, that is our main number in the main office.
Right.
They can also reach me at 718-363-1016, extension 326. And I'll be happy to speak with them about anything and any way that we can serve them.
Wow, that's beautiful, though. That is awesome. Now, is there anything else you want to bring out about the Kitchens of Faith or the extension itself?
There are so many things I'd like to say, but I think that it's a wonderful opportunity that has been created for our community where people don't really have the opportunity to get some of this information through other vehicles and know that they can trust the information. And that's the thing that I'm very proud of with the extension, that when we give information, we don't just take any information. We really strive to make sure that people are getting accurate information, what the research has shown, so that they know they can trust us. We take that responsibility very seriously.
Oh, wow, and that's so important that you do, and that we have a resource like the Cornell Cooperative Extension that we can trust, you know?
Yes.
That is
yes.
So important, Evelina. Now, as you know, Thanksgiving is almost here. And
yes, it is.
And soon to be followed by Christmas, New Year's, and other celebratory events around this time of year. So please share with my listeners some holiday eating tips that they could use to limit the weight gain that normally occurs this time of year.
Yes. Well, thank you so much, Vince, for this opportunity again. So I think my first tip would be to rethink your menu choices. We have a symbol that's been given to us called My Plate. And if you look at the My Plate, you'll see that 3/4 of the plate is based on plant-based foods, but half of the plate is based on vegetables and fruits. And so this should be the foundation of your menu. When I talked before about changing the environment, I really want to stress that our traditional way of celebrating holidays, just like when I was growing up, half the plate may be the grain and the other half the protein, and then you have some vegetables.
Right.
I would like us to think when we're planning our menus of ways to incorporate more vegetables and fruits. And there are a number of wonderful ideas and recipes out there that can help us do this. So we need to look at doing that. And also, since many times our holiday menu choices will include comfort foods, we should aim to minimize the amount of protein and sugar-laden carbohydrates that we serve. We love to have our sweet potatoes, but we don't need to put a whole bunch of sugar and syrup, maple syrup and marshmallows on it. We can do things like adding some fruit to it and you know, just cooking it together like that. And it really does taste nice. So I'm saying things like that. Also, think about modifying your recipe with healthier substitutions. So if you normally serve a lasagna, because some people do, consider a vegetable lasagna. Or substitute some beans as part of the protein so that you're not eating so much of the meat. And this way, because already it takes time for your system to digest the food, and the high fat content in many of the foods that we eat actually slows down that emptying time, and it affects our systems in ways we don't really understand. I would also say that we should drink at least 2 cups of water. I always encourage my patients. I used to work at New York Methodist, and when my patients would talk to me about their plans for the holiday, I would tell them, let's make a plan. Let's talk about how we're going to approach this. Before you go out, or even when you first get there, have 2 cups of water about 20 minutes before you eat. So this will help you to feel fuller,
yeah,
and it'll help you to have better control of your appetite. And then watch the size of your plate is another tip that I give them. Try not to use a plate larger than 9 inches. And when you are having your food, when you're serving yourself, minimize your portion.
Yeah.
One of the things that happens during the holidays is that people are making all these different dishes. And so there's an overwhelming amount of food that's on the table. But what I encourage people to do is that you take a little bit, about 1 to 2 tablespoons of each food that you like, rather than piling it onto your plate, so that you can enjoy your food but eat less.
Yeah.
And by eating less, you're not overeating and then finding yourself too stuffed.
We know that feeling. Very good. Good tip.
Okay. So then the other thing that I would tell them is to watch out for the snacks and the appetizers that are served, because somehow people think that those things don't have calories, but those calories count too. We have to make a decision ahead of time as to whether or not we're going to eat some of the things that are there for appetizers, some of these dips and other things that people will have. Maybe a vegetable tray would be nicer with some non-starchy vegetables. And then also, when you're having your snacks and appetizers, don't if you decide to have them, don't think of them as something that just happened and has no effect. Think of them as part of the meal you'll be eating, because they are. Another thing would be chew slowly.
Okay.
Because
yeah.
This improves your digestion and gives your stomach time to signal your brain as to whether or not you've had enough.
Now, we also talk about people going for seconds, that they should wait about 20 minutes.
Yeah, and that's why I really encourage them to chew slowly, because if you're eating slowly, having conversation, you're allowing time for those 20 minutes to occur. That's the time that it needs, that your stomach needs to signal your brain, 20 minutes.
Wow.
So take your time. So if you're serving small portions, eating slowly, chewing thoroughly, your 20 minutes will come, and you'll be amazed how full you'll feel. And it doesn't mean you can't take things home, like, you know, prepare your little doggy bag to go home, because maybe, you know, when you go home, you're going to do the same thing, but maybe you can use that for lunch or something like that. But in general, try not to just eat and then find out later, wow, I ate too much. To watch the amount and type of holiday beverages you drink. And I'm talking here about a lot of eggnogs and different things like that. Again, those calories count. And many drinks that we will have, beverages that we will have, are high in sugar, and some of them are even high in fat.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And then something that really is important to me when I'm thinking about nutrition and health, the health aspect is food safety. You need to make sure you keep your hot foods hot and your cold foods cold, because no matter how healthy a meal is, if it wasn't handled properly, it's not good for you.
Huh, good point.
Okay.
Good point.
And then just a couple of other points. One is to plan ahead. What another thing I would tell people, build a celebration into your meal plan for the day. So have your breakfast, lunch, and snacks during the day, as well as 2 cups of water before eating the holiday evening meal, because this will help to control your appetite. You know, a lot of times people will say, well, I'm not going to eat anything all day because I'm going to eat tonight.
Yeah.
And then they overeat. And then if the holiday meal is being served as lunch, make sure you have your breakfast and a mid-morning snack and the 2 cups of water before eating that lunch. And again, same thing.
Wow.
And last but not least, plan physical activities into your holiday celebration.
Okay.
So while waiting for the meal, don't just have people sitting around. If you're hosting, do some fun activities such as line dancing, and try and involve the other guests as much as possible. Now, everybody may not be able to do it, but some people will. But then think of other activities that the other people can do. And then after eating, try to include some time for lighter activities such as walking. This will allow time for conversation with friends and family, along with the physical activity aspect. Those are my tips.
Those are some excellent holiday eating tips. That is awesome. I think you covered just about everything you can possibly cover, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it's really something based on over the years people have asked me, and I see, you know, some places where because we didn't plan ahead, because we didn't think about it, we fell down. But I always tell people, listen, if that happens, get up and start again.
One of the resolutions that I hear more than anything else is I want to lose weight, right?
Yes, absolutely.
So, but if you start out properly by taking this advice, you know, you already would be on your way to becoming healthy, you know, if you just watch what you're eating and include a little activity in there. But, you know, it's not easy for most people, and I understand that, but you could take small steps.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, I've been to holiday celebrations, and people started doing the electric slide and the Cupid shuffle. And, you know, it was fun. It can be something just like that. Or you can play, you know, some type of a game or something that involves movement.
Yeah.
Now, we can't all do that, but we can try to do something.
Most definitely. We can do something. You know, this has been great, Evelina. Is there anything else you want to share?
I just really want to wish everybody a happy and healthy, a really healthy holiday season.
Oh.
And just remember, you know, start somewhere. It's sometimes we think, oh, I can't do all of that. One change will make a difference, just one change. And that's a philosophy that we also really encourage in Cornell with our participants. One change makes a difference. It's better than doing nothing.
Wow, you hear that? Just one change. One change, and it's better than nothing. I agree. And with that being said, Evelina, on behalf of Body Scope of New York and 6 Weeks of Fitness, I want to thank you for coming on our show.
Thank you for having me.
And to my listeners, I truly hope this program was informative, encouraging, and inspiring, and that you will continue tuning in to our 6 Weeks of Fitness podcast. And if you have any questions or comments, please leave them on my 6 Weeks of Fitness blog at www.6weeks.com or email me at vince@6weeks.com. Have a happy, healthy holiday. Bye-bye.